Well, first, the chair of the Global Commission on Drug Policy on why a drug-free world is impossible and why effective regulation of drugs is not admitting defeat. Ruth Dreyfus is the former president of Switzerland. She chairs the commission, established 7 years ago by several former heads of state and other global leaders. She assumed the chair from the late Kofi Annan. The former Prime Minister of New Zealand, Helen Clark, is a current member of the commission. Its aim is to promote science-based discussion about effective ways to reduce the harm caused by drugs. Ms. Dreyfus is in New Zealand for discussions with politicians and NGOs and will speak tonight at a public meeting at Auckland University. You can see details on our webpage. She's in the Auckland studio. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
For some 4 decades or more, the war on drugs has run in various countries. What is the evidence it's failed?
The evidence is clearly that the prohibition has failed. It has failed in the sense, as Kofi Annan would have said several times, drugs may destroy lives, but failed drug policies destroyed many more lives. They destroyed lives by allowing the diffusion of the epidemics of AIDS and HIV and tuberculosis. It has destroyed life by mass incarceration. It has destroyed life by overdoses. It has destroyed life by making people dependent on a supply by criminal organization. So that really we have to change the policy, I would say, 180 degrees.
Your first report was issued back in 2011, very early on. Have you seen progress since then towards doing things differently?
We have seen a lot of progress in different countries. To fight against the epidemic of transmissible disease, it was clear that syringe exchange was important, that places where the people can consume in a safe way and supervise the consumption rooms, that drug testing at the disposal of people, all these measures called harm reduction measures are tested, experimented, scaled up in different countries. I would say in all continents you find at least some of these measures. And the spectrum of possible treatment, offered treatment, is also very large now. Substitution treatment for people who find a better balance if they receive a substance they need because they are dependent, like methadone, for instance, or in Switzerland, even medical heroin. These are also things that, for instance, now at least 7 countries in the world have introduced. And other countries have recognized that criminalizing the consumption and the possession for what is personal use is really fueling the problem and not solving the problem. So Portugal, for instance, the Czech Republic, many countries around cannabis, I mean, for Portugal and Czech, it is for all drugs. The decriminalization is either by law or de facto a better solution also to keep contact with the people, to help them if they need help, and not to punish people who are not harming others than probably themselves.
What has been the change in the supply of drugs in these countries?
In these countries, I would say the problem of the supply is not really solved. Let's take the example of the Netherlands, pioneering in the cannabis coffee shops. There was no negative influence, on the contrary, on the demand side. But the supply is not controlled because it's not a regulated market. The back door is the place where the substance is coming in. So it's a decriminalization for the consumption, but it's still a black market behind the back door. So it didn't really influence the supply. But in countries where you could really reduce the consumption, you reduced also the power of the criminal organization. I mean, it was not the control of the state that reduced the supply, but a demand that was going to more legalized, more open, more publicly controlled consumption. Let me take an example. Heroin, for instance, the supply and the consumption of heroin from the black market has decreased dramatically in Switzerland the day we introduced the possibility of medical prescription of heroin.
So please take the Swiss example with heroin, regarded as a serious and addictive drug, and please explain what you did with respect to it. Is it still illegal to supply heroin other than through medical professionals?
No.
What's the
legal
status?
The only way to receive heroin in a regulated market is to receive it under medical prescription in a day clinic where you have to go and to use the substance on the spot. So it is a very clinical answer to the heroin. And there is a low level of presence of heroin on the black market, but heroin is not really no longer attractive. I am very proud to see that most of the people who are using heroin now in my country are people getting in age, having perhaps a story of 30 or 40 years of using first heroin from the street and being really at threat to die or to get seriously ill. And now these people have a balanced life and they survive, something that many other people in the same situation in other country didn't survive.
So is it completely, just to be clear, is it legal to access and use heroin, legal to supply heroin, or
yeah,
only is supply only legal through official medical authorities?
Exactly.
Okay, understood. So have you found that heroin, people addicted to heroin, for example, are using the regulated system and there is not much new demand?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. They are using this possibility. And they found a new balance in their life. Some are still under social support, but others have found jobs and they received also support for housing, for instance.
What of other drugs, commonly recreational drugs? What does the law say in Switzerland?
Well, in Switzerland, I would say the drug that is most used, as in many other countries, is cannabis. So on one side, we have the possibility to buy freely, I mean in shops, in normal tobacco shops or cigarette shops or other shops. You can buy cannabis with a very low level of THC. THC is the product that is giving cannabis, I would say, the possibility to get like drunk a little bit through the consumption. And it is what the people want to have for a real recreational thing. But many people want to consume cannabis with a high level of CDB, which is one of the other active substances, because they think that it helps really for people having trouble to sleep or trouble to have an appetite or to have tremor and other symptoms. And these can now be bought. They can buy now in normal shops like they would buy also cigarettes or any other food. Now, for the stronger cannabis with a higher level of THC, it is still illegal. It is still on the black market. It is still largely used. The punishment for the consumption and possession mainly the consumption in open room, is fine. A fine less than $100. And this is the new system that we have, and I hope we will be able to introduce now pilot project on different model of regulation where cannabis could be bought in pharmacy or in normal shops and so on. We are hopefully able to tell in 2-3 years what is the best model of regulation by the state of this huge market.
It sounds at the moment that legalized but regulated supply is, would that best characterize your laws?
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, if liberalized means that there is no control on the drug, it is a bad solution. The states generally know exactly what to do with harmful products. They know how to deal and regulate with medicine, with chemicals, with isotopes, with many, many things. They know how to regulate also other things like gambling. And it's really strange that for so many years, one category of substance was not regulated really by the state in the sense that it is accessible but under very strong rules, but that it was just prohibited in the sense that criminal organization could take over the control of this market with other purposes than the state would have.
What about other recreational drugs in Switzerland that either speed you up or slow you down or put you in a certain mood? MDMA or ecstasy, for example. Yeah. Cocaine, for example. What are your patterns?
We don't have a huge consumption of Thai pill, as we call them, or synthetic drugs. Generally, it is really linked with a festival, with great gathering of people. And there, one of the solution is, it's illegal, but one of the solution is to allow and give the service of testing these substances, because there is people are coming to this festival without experience of using drugs regularly. They do not know what is in the substance, and these are also changing along the will of the producer. And so it's very important that the people are able to control what they have bought on the black market and to know exactly what are the harms and the risks they are taking. It is still prohibited, and I think New Zealand could be a good example of a country trying to bring on the market the less harmful psychoactive substances, synthetic ones, and to look how to avoid that the stronger and more harmful are not on the market.
Is this again about supply? Because we are having many issues with synthetics, and this has happened in the United States as well, that are laced with really dangerous stuff. And is this about ensuring quality checks, I guess?
Yeah.
Ensuring a supply chain that people can have confidence in.
Exactly, exactly. And this is only possible if the state take over, because the criminal organization has exactly the other aim, to make the people dependent, perhaps not to kill them, but to make them as quickly as possible dependent. And they have also an interest to smuggle, for instance, high potent substances, because it's easier to smuggle with them, to hide them, and also because if they are stronger, they will be sold on a higher price. With a little quantity entering in the country. I think this is the case here. This is the case for fentanyl in the opioid crisis in the U.S. With a very small quantity, you can poison, if I can say so, thousands and thousands of people. And if this market is controlled, if fentanyl is really only on the medical market, and I mean, because there are also some medical use, but not in the sense of opening it for recreational use, you can bring product that the people would probably prefer. I mean, the people are not consuming drugs because they want to die. They are consuming drugs because they want to have a good moment or to be, like, drunk or to be in a group and to do the same as the other group, to be on the same mood than the other people in the group.
So you see, that's interesting, Ruth, because one of the debates, I suppose, we have here is that the one legal, regulated drug that we have is alcohol. And yet many reports have shown it to also be causing the greatest harm. And I suppose the fear is, will availability or the removal of the discouragement to many people of the risk of a criminal conviction increase demand for other drugs, whether it's experimentation that, you know, could potentially lead to addiction? I guess the question remains why alcohol is such a problem here when it is the one legal regulated drug.
Well, on alcohol, I would say on one side, in the regulated market, alcohol quality is better. I mean, this is a huge progress. In my country, for instance, in the during World War II, more or less, we had really people getting losing the eyesight because of fake alcohol. I mean, the quality of the alcohol has bettered, and this is something I think that is important to know. Now, why do the people drink too much? Or why are some people drinking too much? This is the real question. And I think this is a matter of the culture. I mean, alcohol is in our culture. Secondly, it is a matter of stigmatization and discrimination for certain social groups, for the poor people, for the ethnical minorities, and the difficulty to get really into the society. And it is a matter of lack of prevention. I think I mean, there is still advertising for alcohol. And advertising is a way to bring people to think that they have to drink to be adult and to be well accepted in a community. So, I mean, I think we are in a society that on one side is thinking that there is a big problem with alcoholism, on the other side is bringing people to drink.
You see, you touch on some really important points, which is, can you have the legal reform without having taken some other important steps? What are you going to do with people who become dependent? Clearly they already exist, but if there is a liberalisation, is there, even for a time, a risk of an increase in that? And what are you going to do with some of the underlying causes of dependency? Not use, controlled use for fun, but people who become dependent. And third to your point, do you need strict rules around things like marketing and advertising?
Exactly. No, you are absolutely right. We speak always in Switzerland about the four pillars of drug policy or addiction policy. It is on one side prevention, the secondly harm reduction for the people who consume, thirdly treatment for people who are dependent and need help to get more free or more controlled in their consumption, and repression. And these four pillars are very important for all kind of harmful products. Let's take alcohol. We need absolutely more prevention. We need harm reduction in the sense of the quality also of the product, as I told before, but also to bring, for instance, young people to understand what alcohol really can produce, also in festival and such things. We need the possibility of treatment for people who are dependent on alcohol, and we need repression. We cannot tolerate that people or enterprise are selling to children, alcohol to children. We have strong rules at what age somebody can consume, but also what is the highest level of alcohol that can be in a product. And we have taxes to allow the financing also of the different measures. And the same will be in different mixed, in different concrete measures. You will find these four pillars in all regulation model. And as you said, I mean, often it is also a problem of social marginalization and people being homeless or people being jobless. So, I mean, a real policy is also a social policy.
Your latest report then, issued, I think, earlier this year, Regulation, the Responsible Control of Drugs. Is this the four pillars of which you speak, is this what this report is speaking to?
Well, the report is really speaking about taking off as much as possible from criminal hands what is now, because it is just prohibited, exploited and spoiled by criminal organization. And regulation is the way state has to deal with substances or with conduct that are harmful. The answer is really to say that some things are prohibited, used for selling to young people, smoking in public places, driving under alcohol influence and so, but that we don't interfere in the choice of people to find through the consumption of these products well-being or joy or a good moment with fellows or the doping they need perhaps in a stressful activity. So it's also respecting the privacy of the people and the choice they are doing in a frame that is put together by the state and in a control of the sources of the supply that is also under the control of the state. So that is regulation. It is a set of rules, and these rules have to be adapted to the harm caused by the substance or the possible harm caused by the substance. We can take really two extreme of a spectrum. On one side, let's say alcohol should be regulated more, in my view, than it is. It shouldn't be, there shouldn't be publicity for advertising for alcohol, in my view, or for tobacco. On the other side, we have the model of just a medical use that is allowed and all the rest is not allowed, but the control on the substance for the people who need this substance is made by the state. And in between, you have a large range, spectrum of answers. I mean, when you control the quality of, for instance, of the things babies and children are using, yeah. You do exactly that. I mean, I was also responsible for that. I was responsible for food control. Why should harmful substances like hard drugs be not under the control of the state in the sense of this set of rules, but just prohibited by the state and exploited by criminal organizations?
I suppose the final question people have is, if there is a liberalisation of the law or a reduction, significant reduction in possible sanctions, Does it lead to even a temporary increase in demand?
There is no example of good regulation that has brought an increase in consumption. But we have now examples we have to analyze and see in 1, 2, 3 years what Uruguay, Colorado, Canada, and others will bring as a result for their different experience. Because just this is very interesting. Between Uruguay, with a very, very strong state control from the seed to the joint, if I can say so, and on one side, and Colorado on the other side, where there is a development of a big business for cannabis and quite a high level of freedom, not the total. Yeah, there are rules, but far less than in Uruguay. We will see the result. The result might be different because there are two different cultures, if I can say so. But we will also see what are the effects of regulation. And our commission, for instance, is very cautious. We want experiment. We want scientific monitoring. We want to have the evidence about what is good and what is, going a little bit too far. And our proposal is really to begin with a more severe, more rigorous regulation at the beginning, because it is easier to lower the level of the rules if you see that it is perhaps too tight than to make the country. I mean, it's more difficult for Colorado to see how to correct if it is too liberal than to Uruguay to correct if they think that it is a little bit too rigid. So in a first step, it would be good to go not too far and to see what are the results on a possible increase of consumption.
Yeah.
But generally, I would say the people can regulate their own and control their own consumption if this consumption is not just linked with criminality and with fake products.
Thank you.
And let me say that I don't think that incarceration is deterrent, but I see that in the last 30 years, there was such an increase in incarceration, such an increase of punishment linked with the war on drugs, that so many people were just taken out of normal life, of normal job, of normal family life, just because they were consumers. And this has to stop.
Thank you.
I would say to start immediately.
Thank you very much. Ruth Dreyfuss, who is in New Zealand, she is speaking at a public meeting tonight at the University of Auckland. She's the former president of Switzerland, now chairing the Global Commission on Drug Policy.